This is the North Sound Energy Week podcast.
Hello and welcome to the Energy Week podcast. I'm Fiona Winchester. A huge week for the North Sea oil and gas industry, which has seen the biggest investment in over a decade. Prime Minister David Cameron jetted into Aberdeen to announce BP's biggest ever spend in the region with the £4.5 billion expansion of the Clear Field. The project off the Shetland Isles will include investment from Shell, ConocoPhillips and Chevron. In addition, £3 billion will be spent on the redevelopment of the Schiehallion and Loyal fields off Shetland and the £700 million development of the Canal field in the central North Sea. It takes investment in the region by BP and its partners up to £10 billion over the next 5 years. The Prime Minister addressed workers at the oil giant's Dice headquarters.
First of all, a very big thank you to everyone who works in the North Sea oil industry. Many people take huge risks, work in very dangerous and difficult environments, are away from their families for hugely long periods of time. And I want to say thank you on behalf of everybody for what you do to keep our energy supplies safe, to keep the lights on, to keep our country secure. It doesn't get said often enough, so a very big thank you. But there's a particular reason. Indeed, I think there are three reasons why we should really single out this industry for a moment this morning and speak about why it matters so much to the United Kingdom. The first reason it matters is the reason of energy security. We live in a very dangerous and difficult world. We do not want to be over-reliant on energy supplies from difficult parts of the world, from unstable parts of the world. And it's a huge national advantage having such a brilliant oil and gas industry here in Aberdeen and here in the North Sea. We should treasure that. We should want to see it expand. We should want to see it grow. We should want to see it be part of a good and diversified energy industry in the United Kingdom with reliable supplies from nuclear, from renewables, but, as I say, having this great national strength that we do in the North Sea as part of our energy security. I think the second reason to cherish what we have here in Aberdeen and in the North Sea is that we desperately need in our economy today high-skilled, high-quality jobs to give people a career, a livelihood, a worthwhile stake in our country. And the jobs that you have created are exactly those sorts of jobs, high-skilled jobs, jobs that people are building skills that can be applicable in other areas but give them immensely fulfilling careers. So we want to see the expansion of the North Sea go on, not just for the oil and the gas, but the huge knock-on effect in other businesses and industries, particularly in manufacturing, throughout the United Kingdom. And I think I'm right that of this new investment, over 50% of the supplies will actually come from other UK companies. So what you're doing here is a great boost to the rest of our economy. But the third reason is this, that I think we should take time to cherish your industry, which is that as oil supplies, gas supplies the world over get more challenging to recover, there is, I think, an immense opportunity for great British companies, great British expertise, to take what we learn here in the North Sea and to apply it in other parts of the world. And that leads me to the last thing I want to say, which is how much I am proud to stand up as Prime Minister for great British companies like BP. The very first meeting I had, I think, as Prime Minister with President Obama was after the Deepwater Horizon incident and tragedy. And I felt it was important, of course, that BP had to do all the things that BP needed to do to make right what had happened. But it was very important to safeguard a great British company and make sure it wasn't put in danger by what had happened. And that was exactly the argument I made to President Obama. I was proud recently to travel to Russia with Bob Dudley, to make sure that the vital investments, brave investments that BP is making in Russia are also treated properly and safeguarded. And while some people may say it's not appropriate for a Prime Minister to get on an aeroplane, stack it full of businessmen and fly across the world, I think it is absolutely vital to try and grow our exports, our trade and our investment in every part of the world. And I will go on doing exactly that. So thank you for the warm welcome you've given me today. Congratulations on this landmark investment, the scale of which I think hasn't perhaps sunk in on all of our fellow countrymen who probably, like me, remembering vaguely their geography GCSE, or in my case, I'm afraid, O-level, thought that North Sea oil was running down. It isn't. there are many, many years left of this great natural resource and the incredible entrepreneurship that you show in recovering it. As Bob said, there are huge challenges ahead, and the challenge of safety and security and environmental protection, these are really vital challenges that I know you work hard to meet, and we in government will try and set the appropriate regulatory standards so we can meet them together. But today, above all, let us celebrate what is a great day for BP, for its partner companies, for North Sea Oil, and for this great British industry. Thank you.
North Sound Energy Week.
I caught up with the Prime Minister after his address. BP Chief Executive Bob Dudley had predicted the company could take exploration as far as 2050. But Mr Cameron would not be drawn on the environmental concerns as reserves get tougher to reach.
Prime Minister, you spoke about the environmental aspects, and obviously as the industry has to go deeper and deeper to keep it going, is that something that the government's going to have to look at more and more closely each time we launch a big project like this?
I think the public expect us to go into this in great detail. I think we should be clear that actually what we're talking about with the Clare field is actually these are not deep water explorations. This is, they're certainly testing and difficult things to do, as I've been hearing myself today, but we're talking about 100, 200, 300 metres, not the really deep wells that you see in other parts of the world, or indeed that we may have one day to sink here in the North Sea. Look, people expect Britain to have state-of-the-art regulation and environmental concern. That's exactly what we have, and it must be in that context that we decide whether other fields can go ahead.
Thursday's announcement came in the wake of Oil and Gas UK's annual economic report, which was released earlier in the week. It showed investment in the North Sea is up, with around £8 billion being ploughed into new production, but exploration has dropped by a third. Economics Director Mike Tolan says the UK economy is still majorly boosted by the sector.
A report that's been launched today looks at the UK economy and what the oil and gas industry here in the UK makes that economy. What you see, for instance, is that we remain a major investor in the UK economy. We think this year we'll invest something like £8 billion in new production in the North Sea, which is in itself a big achievement. Investment's probably going to be something like a third up on 2010. We see at the same time that, yes, prices have gone higher by probably a similar amount for oil, but we actually, more worryingly, see that exploration's falling, we think, by about a third in 2011 compared to 2010. So investment up, exploration down. That's probably not the right place to be at for the long term. Where we're looking at is how we get certainty in the industry and confidence to make sure that not just the big investments go ahead, but we see many of the small investments, some of which are quite marginal and struggling in the current environment.
Okay, not to concentrate on the negative here, but how are you going to turn that around then?
Well, where we need to turn around is we need to have confidence in the long term, both in the fiscal regime and the regulatory regime, because we are convinced that our industry is one which can provide growth, investment and jobs for the UK economy, not just now, but for years ahead. We've seen it over many years, and we believe that we can do that for many years to come. The way we do that is, and we are working with the government to try and get more certainty on strange things that might seem around decommissioning, to be certain that when it comes to taking the stuff away, that we know how it's going to be paid and who's going to pay for what share of that between the industry and government. If we can get those certainties, then that means we're in a lot less commercially risky environment, and so we can be much more confident about what we're doing over the long term. And that is important because this year, for instance, our balance of payment is halved because of what we're doing as an industry in the UK economy. It would be something like £34 billion worse without that. And if you look also, we still, in the UK, provide half our own energy, more than half our own energy, from the UK's waters. So Made in Britain for Energy still is very big and very strong.
OK, you've highlighted that, you know, the sector has gone some way to support economic growth in the UK. But is the sector getting enough support from other bodies to make sure this is possible?
I think all credit to the Scottish Government. The Scottish Government recognises the benefit of this to the Scottish economy. I think what we need to keep doing is making sure that the British government also recognises that we are still very much a foundation for jobs, growth and investment in the UK economy. At a time when all those things are in short supply, we are a good news story. Something like a quarter of all corporation taxes come from our industry. Not the finance sector, but from our industry. Much of that you can't see, but you see that benefit to the UK economy time and time again.
You're listening to North Sound Energy Week.
Calamus Wave Power secured a lease from the Crown Estate this week to develop a wave farm off the Western Isles. The project will generate enough electricity for around 7,000 homes. The site off Bernera is one of eight areas of the seabed the Crown Estate has leased out for wave and tidal projects. First Minister Alex Salmond told us it's great news.
Congratulations to Palamas in particular and their new allocation. I think of the 30 tidal and wave sites across the UK, I think 25 of them are now in Scotland, which is, you know, that's a good percentage. I mean, we've got a quarter of the tidal sites of Europe and maybe 10, maybe 15% of the wave sites. So, you know, it's right and proper that Scotland leads the world in these industries, and that's where we intend to get. They are the industries of the future. I mean, I'm looking here today at Subsea in Acker in Aberdeen, and, you know, that's one of the great growing parts of the oil market. I mean, subsea technology is fantastic. Interestingly enough, some of the technology that's been used for offshore oil and gas will be very, very applicable to some of the marine technologies and particularly tidal power. So, you know, our industry is where we lead the world, where we've got a real expertise. We dominate the world market in subsea technology. I want to see us dominating in wave and tidal power as well.
And finally, last weekend saw delegates from around Europe gather in Aberdeen to discuss marine pollution in the North Sea. Representatives from Sweden, Denmark, Ireland and many others considered issues like the recent Gannet Alpha spill and the uncertainty over emergency towing vessels. Councillor Peter Argyle was there for Aberdeenshire Council.
Aberdeenshire Council and Aberdeen City Council are both members of KEMO. And KEMO is an international European organisation that looks at issues around the North Sea and particularly looks at environmental issues in the North Sea with particular emphasis on marine pollution. So there's a conference this weekend in Aberdeen where all of these sort of issues are going to be discussed. There's about 70 delegates coming from all around the North Sea, from Netherlands, from Sweden, Denmark, Ireland, which isn't in the North Sea, of course, but Faroes, Germany, and indeed there are people coming from the Baltic region as well. So the president is Albert de Hoop, who's from the Netherlands. So all these people are gathering in Aberdeen this weekend, and the focus of the conference is on environmental issues and maritime pollution issues in the North Sea, and looking at as well at how they deal with these things in other regions, which is why there are people coming from the Baltic as well. So it is quite an important conference. It's clearly a very important issue for the Northeast, the issue of pollution, and that includes things like plastic contamination, which is a major problem in the North Sea, as indeed in virtually every other sea in the world. So they'll be looking at that, looking at the impact of pollution, marine pollution on the fisheries. And, of course, fisheries are key to the success of the North East. It's quite a broad range of issues that are going to be discussed. And there'll be some study tours, indeed, for delegates after the conference actually finishes. So they'll get out and about in both Aberdeen City and into Aberdeenshire to look at maritime-related issues out in the real world, as it were. So, I mean, even the Fishing for Litter campaign, which, as we say, has been very successful, and it's really good the way that the fishing industry in particular have responded to that challenge of bringing back to shore litter that they catch in their nets, as it were. But there's always something. Clearly, there's a lot of focus on the oil and gas industry after some of the recent accidents in other parts of the world. So there's the whole issue of oil and gas and the potential problems that could arise as a result of that. But it's just a general scruffy nature of the human race where people seem to be quite happy just to throw things away rather than disposing of them properly. So it's a permanent problem. And I think it's really good that countries around the North Sea can get together with people from other areas where they have similar problems and really look at how best to address them.
And that's the Energy Week podcast. I'm Fiona Winchester.
This is the North Sound Energy Week podcast.